Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Well, today's a very special episode of Ask Eliza Anything because, as you probably can tell from your loyal listening ship, we don't really do guests. Honestly, because it's a pain in the ass to book and then you got to get a booker. But in this case, I thought this was the perfect guest. You can say hi.
Hi.
I'm not going to like, I feel like, I always feel like it's a power thing when people like make people wait for their intro.
Yes.
Rebecca Searle is a close friend. You've seen her on my Instagram. I've been on hers. We're not on each other's Instagrams often because we're both very busy and she is a very talented writer. But the most important part is that she's a close friend and you know her. And even if you think you don't know her because she writes New York Times bestselling books and you've seen them at the airport. Sometimes I post them because it's the closest I think I will ever get to New York Times bestseller. She is the New York Times bestselling author of In 5 Years and One Italian Summer and her new, we're calling it a romance novel?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Expiration Dates is out March 19th. It's told with her signature warmth and insight into matters of the heart. Rebecca Searle has finally set her sights on romantic love. The result is a gripping, emotional, passionate, and yes, heartbreaking novel about what it means to be single in LA.
In LA.
What I enjoyed about it was like, I was like, I know exactly where they're going.
Yeah.
What it means to find love and ultimately how we define each of them for ourselves. So order your copy of Expiration Dates now. Although I think a lot of you probably already have because this is the type of writer that my listeners listen. Read.
That's so nice. I love you and thank you for having me. I'm just happy to spend time with you and be here.
I'm happy to spend time with you. She brought me flowers. Bring your girlfriend's flowers.
Bring your girlfriend's flowers. Everybody wants flowers and we don't get enough flowers. You know what I heard? I heard... The other day, somebody said that the first time men get flowers is often at their own funerals. And that made me so sad.
Oh,
I'm like,
I
need to bring my husband flowers.
He doesn't want them.
Okay.
He wants steak.
Doesn't everybody enjoy flowers or really just women?
I think it's women. Okay. I think men are weird about it. But maybe, I don't know.
I don't know.
Depends on the kind of guy you got.
In the meantime, anyway, women enjoy flowers. Bring them.
My husband loves stick season. Like, we'll go to the farmer's market, you know, like big, like cherry blossom
sticks.
Oh,
yeah.
He like confessed to his mother. He's like, I don't think Eliza likes stick season. I'm like, get the sticks.
They also shed everywhere, those sticks.
Oh, I think we're thinking of different sticks. Oh, you know what? You're right. They do.
They got them.
Yeah. He likes the sticks.
Okay.
So we have a couple questions for you specifically because my listeners are incredible. And then we have regular questions, but I feel like you and I have like these like kvetch sessions where we get together and we're like, and here's the problem. And so I thought you'd be perfect for the advice for these women, mostly women.
Please.
And some men. And the funniest thing you ever said to me was you were just like, oh, now I have to paraphrase it. You were just like, we were talking about TV. And you were like, why are 100% of shows about murder?
Yeah, 100%. And everything's on fire all the time. It's just all terrible.
You and I agree on pretty much everything, which is great. We're both straight shooters. So here we go. My name is Danny, and I'd love to be a published author one day. I was wondering what writing advice, what makes good writing, a good story, you'd give to an aspiring author, and what's some business advice, like, you know, how to actually get published, that you would give. and it's a big question, but
no, I love this question because I think like, I think it's smart to think tangibly like that. Okay. So first on the rating advice, I would say just read as much as you possibly can, like apprentice yourself to books.
You read so many books because I see you post them.
I read a lot. And to be honest, I don't even read as much as I would like to read or as much as I, you know, like I, you have to read a lot. You have to really understand the mechanics of how books get built and like, you know, I think when you're starting off, it's also fun to sort of like mimic other voices until you find your own. Anyway, you got to read. Reading is really helpful. My best piece of publishing advice is to, first of all, try to find a peer group where you can like actually be edited by people because you need to have like other reads to get your manuscript to the point that it can be ready to be submitted.
She's saying you want feedback from people that you respect, not just like your aunt.
Yes. And what I will also say, like, yes, people you respect, but not necessarily other writers because people know what a good story is. Like you don't have to be a writer to know what a good story is, to know where the holes are. You just need to actually like enjoy reading.
Very good point.
And then look in the backs of books to see, look in the backs of books that are comparable to the book that you're writing. See who is thanked in the acknowledgments.
Ooh.
As the agent, and then look that person up and see what their submission requirements are.
That's a real pro tip. Not just like write your best.
No, like that's how you do it. And like that person will have, you know, they'll have a website, their agency will have a website. You'll see like, you know, can you cold submit? Do they prefer email? Do they prefer hard? Whatever it is.
Just send it.
No, don't just send it.
Because that will get it thrown out and they'll remember they don't like you.
Don't just send it. And also like, don't reach out on social media. It just go through the appropriate channels, I think.
Yeah. These agents read a lot. So if it goes in their inbox, they're going to read that for sure. That's really concise advice.
Oh.
You're like, I give it all the time. And just so you guys know, a lot of you wrote really nice things into the podcast that are compliments. I'm uncomfortable reading compliments about myself on here. It's great when Emily reads them to me. So I have edited a lot of your questions down. I did it all by myself. My name is Allie. I'm a 32-year-old female. And while I'm not a nursing or graduate student, like all of my fans, I did also graduate from the IBO program like Emily. So it feels like I went to grad school and high school. I'm fabulous by nature, ginger by choice, and a full-time indie author writing Outlander for teens. Time travel romance, in case that wasn't clear. Did you know what that was?
Yeah, I know what I like it.
She's like, it's my fucking business. And then you go on to say a lot of nice things about me and Noah. Okay. Similarly, Rebecca Searle has been an auto-buy author since I picked up When You Were Mine 12 years ago.
That's so nice.
Thought you'd like to hear that.
I love whenever people have been like there for the YA, it's the best.
Your whole career.
It's the best.
And I haven't stopped reading or recommending your book since. Your pacing, unique but relatable feelings, plots, poignant prosaic writing style, and subtle magical realism is always such a pleasure to read. I am impatiently counting down the days until expiration. Dates debuts.
That's so sweet.
Now, for my context and question.
Yeah.
I've been successfully self-publishing for the last 3 years and have amassed a backlog of 12 books. I average about 4 a year, all clocking between 55 to 70K words.
Whoa.
I have a really strong... Is that a lot of words?
I mean, that's just a lot of books.
A lot of books.
Yeah.
I have a really strong and growing audience in this niche as well. As really solid ranking/income, but I'm burnt out. I feel creatively tapped and I've been struggling to get myself out of this funk. My question is, how do you deal with creative burnout? What are your go-to rituals to reinvigorate your creative brains? My typical slump buster technique, journaling, going for walks, drives, researching a new project, aren't doing it for me right now. Is it time to explore a new genre? Is it the dread of knowing my cash cow is about to stop producing new work, new milk? Do I just need to take a step back for a minute and take stock? Best of wishes for an incredible year ahead, Allie.
Oh, Allie, first of all, thank you so much. That is so sweet. Second of all, I think it's possible you're just doing too much. Like 4 books a year is a lot.
That's a lot.
I publish a book every other year. I do a launch once a year, but then it's hardcover 1 year. And then the next year it's the paperback of that book. So you're not really sort of like reinventing the wheel. I think it's possible that you're just publishing a little bit too much. And also you said you're self-publishing, which means you're doing a lot on your own. You're doing marketing, you're doing publicity, like you're sort of your own publisher. And so I would say, maybe try what it feels like to do 2 next year and to sort of read more, honestly. Like whenever I'm feeling burnt out and I don't write I don't write all the time. I probably write about 4 months of the year, and the rest of the year is editing or dealing with the various other aspects of my business. But whenever I'm feeling burnt out, and I understand that this was my answer to the last question too, but it's an important one, I read. I read because it sort of just resets the table. It connects me to the way other people put words together. It also excites me when I read something that I think is really interesting or unique or different, and maybe I want to try. So I would suggest scaling back on the publishing schedule and spending more time reading and appreciating books, I think, is my advice.
Yeah, it sounds like you have your life pretty well paced out. Like you have this down to kind of like a science.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. But also like my life is changing and the process is always dynamic. And you always, I think, have to be looking at and thinking about like, does this work now?
I think that's great advice. Does this work now? Like the thing that worked 5 years ago.
Yes.
It's not that you don't have the passion for it. Like maybe it just doesn't work now.
It just doesn't work. Like I think life and also art is meant to be dynamic and it's meant to continue testing us. Like that's how we grow and evolve as artists and as people. So,
oh, it's so true.
It's like anytime you really get in a groove and you're like, okay, this is just how I run life, something's going to change and you're going to have to change. And that's okay.
Taking swings. Like I hear that you write these Outlander style books. Like, is that what you still want to write?
Yeah.
Or is there something within that genre? Like, it's okay to have a swing and a miss.
Yes.
I know that it's scary when you're self-published. So like you are your business, but you're talking to two independent contractors. Like we both don't have that like steady income. But I don't know that I've experienced burnout because I don't really have like a corporate job. But I will say I never put pressure on myself to write jokes. Like I will go months. I went like just without writing. Like, and it's.
I think that's really, really good advice. Like I think you have to trust your art back. Like you got to trust that it's going to return to you.
100%.
Yeah.
It's not going, if you wrote this many books, it's not just going to stop one day.
No.
So that's great advice.
Yeah. And good luck.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It used to be you just go to a party, have a bunch of fun, come home, not think about it. Not me, not lately. I don't know. I feel like I'm annoyed by everything. I feel like little things kind of set me off. It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread ourselves so thin, especially with all the directions that our minds are pulled, right? There's the news, there's social issues, there's your family, there's your friends, and then there's just the constant blathering chatter of the internet. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? And how do you spend your energy wisely? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more time alone, but kind of with other people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. This is actually designed to be convenient. It's flexible and it's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge. No hassle. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza. Here's the truth. You probably eat bread a lot less than you used to or not at all because of carb fear mongering. The carb fear is real. Carb-heavy foods are often the ones that we love the most, right? When you think of comforting foods, when you think of things you really want to dig your teeth into. Hero Bread makes the bread that you love, your same delicious favorites, free of consequences or compromise. At Hero, they've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. And Hero Bread doesn't just make bread. They have something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops. I love this part because they have indulgent favorites like 2 gram net carb Hero croissants or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code Eliza at checkout. That's Eliza at hero.co. Are you skeptical about custom beauty? I am. My social media is nonstop flooded with not only beauty products, beauty influencers, it's just tons of stuff, tons of lies, all promising to fix my hair, my skin, my life. But when pros says custom, they actually mean it.
It's not a gimmick. Your formula could not exist without you. Because every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors and they get personal, which I appreciate. Because to understand how someone lives, you have to know where they live. What's the UV index in your area? What's the water hardness? Is it cold? Is it dry air? You know, I live in LA. The weather is crazy. Next, they analyze all of that information and how it relates to you, and then Pros recommends a full routine of truly personalized products, which are only produced after your order is placed. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/askeliza. That's PROSE.com/askeliza for your free consultation and 50% off one-of-a-kind formulas. Pros.com/askeliza. Hi, Rebecca. A huge fan of your book, One Italian Summer. Why did you choose Positano? And had you been before or did you travel there to be able to write the book? I felt so transported and almost could smell the food. Me too. And the breeze in my skin while I read. Thanks for sharing your art with the world. It's so hard for me to read fiction and your book is one of my faves so far. I have two copies as I started reading on a flight with a connection. I thought I lost the book, so I had to get a second, which of course isn't an airport because only fucking big deal authors are in airports. I couldn't wait till I found the first one. Anyways, I did. Much love from Miami, Marcella.
Thank you, Marcella. By the way, I love how you always, the airport thing is really...
It gets me so jacked to see your book in airports.
You send me a photo all the time.
And I'm like, I know you don't care because you have like... You know, my friend wrote a book in the airport. Like, there's nothing cooler than it being in the airport.
I love it. I love your enthusiasm for airport books.
I'll never stop having it for
okay,
you.
So my mom, similar to Carol... had spent a summer in Positano when she was 20 years old and met this man named Ramo and fell in love with him. And she had always just like talked about the summer in Positano. And so my mom and I went back in the summer of 2019. We went to Rome and Positano and we actually found Ramo on Facebook and she met him. Did I never tell you this?
No.
She met him at the Trevi Fountain, which is the place that they had met like 52 years before.
Which is like a good luck fountain, right? You throw.
Yeah. And like the place that they had been was like a bar and is now like a Gap or whatever. But like, and so we met him and he brought her this silver charm that said love on it that she had given him that summer.
Oh my God.
That he had kept. And he was like, honestly, okay, my mom is very happily married to my dad, but it was clear like Ramo has really like held the torch all these years. Like at one point he said to me, he really didn't speak much English. And he was like, you go home and your mama, she stay in Roma. And I was like, no.
Was he hot?
Yeah.
Wait, oh my God.
Yeah. So like I really saw, you know, we were getting ready to go meet him and my mom was like getting dressed and she put on the skirt and she was like, does this look good? Or like she put on the shirt and she was like, does this like cover my arms? And she was like nervous and girlish and all of these things. Also, hi, mama, because you know my mom loves you and is obsessed with you. So she's definitely listening to this podcast right now.
Aloha.
But like all these things that I don't really get access to or to get to see.
That
because
side of her.
Yeah, that side of her. And I, you know, I remember... the year that I was 23, three of my best friends lost their mothers to breast cancer in the span of like 8 months. And I remember my one friend, Stephanie, saying to me, and they're all thanked in the back of the book because this book is really, really for them. Aww. And I remember her saying to me, like, I miss all of the women of my mom that I didn't get to know. Like all of the people that weren't just my mom. Like I miss her at 8 and 18. And like 80. And that idea, like I always just thought about that idea. And we're really getting off topic because you asked me about Positano. No. And I recognize that.
The mom, that's my favorite part of the book is the mom stuff.
But yeah, so we took this trip together and it was so clearly. And then also, you know, if you've read the book, you know that there's like a little bit of a time thing. Like she gets to meet her mom when her mother is, you know, also 30. And so, and Positano is one of these places where it really, you could be at any point in time. Like the fashion is the same. There are no cars there. There's very little technology. The restaurants are the same as when my mom was there. Yeah. So it made sense from a practical standpoint. And then also like, you know, your mom dies and you go to Italy to find yourself. I feel like the going to find yourself is like you go to Italy. It made sense.
I will say one of the things that it just like got me. My mother is alive and well and listening to this podcast. And mom, the reason we're never going to Rome is because you would be like, it's enough eating. The way that she ached for her mom and the way that she wrote, like she was mine, like she was my mom, like just the way that you wrote it, Rebecca, you were able to tap, like it felt like you had lost your mom. And even though I haven't, I was like, oh my God, this is someone that, like, it was just such, it was such deep writing.
I think because it is like, you know, I write a lot about the things that I'm afraid of.
Totally.
And
you ever write your mom's eulogy in your head? I do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the book and a lot, like the book, it felt like a letter to my future self to be like, here's what, I can feel it because I think about it so much.
Yes.
I really do. I think about it so much. And it's like, excuse me, but it's like fucked up that we have to be here without them at some point.
Yeah. Especially the older you get and the more you realize that
if things go well, like God forbid it's the other way around, right? Like,
oh, that's God.
Like, the, you know, we will ultimately have to.
They all do. We all do.
Yeah.
No, it's a beautiful book and those are great questions.
Yeah, they were.
But now we have to move on to the reality of life.
Sure.
And get into questions about bridesmaids. Are you ready?
I'm ready. By the way, I want to say about you that like, I agree with you. I think that we oftentimes agree in the way we feel about things, but also like you're a little bit of a wild card. Like sometimes I find your advice to be a little bit like, no, it's always good. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I don't care.
But sometimes I'm like, I'm not entirely sure the way you're going to respond to something.
Because
sometimes it's sort of like, whatever. And then other times it's like, no, like this is serious. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Okay. Sometimes I'm like, I can't be bothered. And then I'm like, I will go to war over this one refund.
Yes, yes. Okay, bridesmaids.
I pick all my battles and I have time for pettiness. Let's start with one that I bolded. Hi, AIA crew. Thank you for all that you do and the space you provide for us. I've seen you twice in Northern California. I was able to attend your book signing in San Francisco. I just turned 39 in January. And I feel like I'm expiring. Over the last 12 years, I have been in two long-term relationships that were both wrong for different reasons. One, 8 years, was very manipulative, emotionally and verbally abusive, and kept dangling the hopes of a future. And the second, 4 years, was with a very nice guy, but he was always extremely emotionally unavailable and skated around conversations about the future, moving in together, marriage, and babies, and seemed to only care about where we were traveling to next. I recently ended this relationship, which was very hard because unlike the other, there was no big trauma to leave. I just needed to realize he wasn't the guy for me and wouldn't be able to give me what I needed. I've been in therapy for the last year and a half, which has helped me regain some of my self-worth. I lost my dad when I was 23 and my mom is 75. And the idea of not having my mom around when I'm pregnant makes me very sad. All right. So you're imagining you'll be pregnant and you're imagining she won't be around, which is very normal. She and I are very close and I'm lucky that she's never put pressure on me to have kids. I've taken the beginning steps to possibly freezing my eggs because having a child is a priority and a dream that I have. However, because I have no medical issues, my insurance won't cover it. And the whole process will cost $10,000 plus annual storage. Financing is available, but I also have a dream of owning a home. My question is for this elder millennial who has no clue about dating apps or how they work and is terrified to start dating right away. Do I bite the bullet and finance this safety net or wait a year or two in hopes that I meet the right person, knowing the amount of viable eggs I have will continue to decrease? I still very much want to get married and have a family with a partner, but I'm feeling like I'm running out of time. I'm a fairly social person with a good friend group, but I'm worried that I've lost so much time in these relationships that by the time I find the person, I'll be faced with even more pricey options when trying to get pregnant. I've always struggled with latching onto guys who show any interest in me, and I'm not the best at determining friends versus dating signals when I meet them. I know women have kids well into their 40s, but I don't know how to release the pressure I'm putting on myself. Thank you for listening. No need to be anonymous. My name is Mindy.
Hi, Mindy. Okay, there's a lot going on there.
I should have edited that question.
No. Okay, there's a lot going on there. Let's talk about the egg freezing part first. I want to say something about egg freezing that might be a little controversial, which is that like, it is not a guarantee. It is actually like not a guarantee and a safety net. And I think it is like, I think it's effed up that it is marketed to women as being that way, especially as we get into our older 30s. And I'm not going to get too personal, but I'm speaking from very personal experience on this issue. You can and maybe should freeze eggs, but you also have to understand that if you do that, that is not a guarantee of a baby. Like, even if you get 12, even if you get 15, like, as we get older, our eggs are less viable than they used to be. And it's possible that, like, none of those eggs would actually mature into, like, a 5-day blastocyst that you could implant. So, being that as it may, it still may be something you want to do. And I think it is a very good idea to go and get your fertility checked.
Thank you. Get it checked at a fertility specialist.
Get it checked at a fertility specialist. And a fertility specialist and a really good doctor will be able to, like, really actually walk you through the reality of these statistics that I'm—
Great advice.
—that I'm giving you. So go make an appointment tomorrow. You don't have to commit to freezing your eggs.
Right.
Go get your fertility checked. See what you're working with and have a very honest conversation. Hopefully you can find a good doctor. Have a very honest conversation with that doctor about, you know, what the reality, what the options are for you and what it's looking like for you. So that's what I would say.
I picked your question because you said I'm 39 and I feel like I'm expiring, and it broke my heart.
Yes.
Because I think that's a very relatable feeling for a lot of women.
Yes.
And I also think, you know, I didn't get a ton in here about your career or anything else. You feel like you're expiring, and women do have this social shelf life, you know, like, you feel like you're expiring in terms of having kids, and that you're mad at yourself that you spent all this time in other relationships. Those relationships have made you this self-aware person that you are, for better or for worse.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter because they're done. And good for you for getting out of the last one. Today's a new day, and many people don't get that day.
Yes. Today's a new day, and many people don't get that day. And also, like, I was 37 when I met my husband.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think my favorite piece of advice that I was ever given that I think about all the time is trust the timing of your life.
Ooh.
And I think it's really true. Like, you know, it's exactly what you said. You are the person you are because of the things that you've been through. You can't go back and undo it. You're here.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I got married later in life. I got married 36, 37, but I had a baby at 39, 40. And I know you understand all that. Women are doing this later and later. If homeownership is important to you, there are ways to make forays into all of these things without heavily committing. And so, first of all, give yourself a break.
Yes.
And just know that, like, it's out there if you want it.
It's out there if you want it. And also, like, you will feel your way to the version of your future that is right for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think you meet someone and, you know, maybe it turns out that, like, I don't know, their wife passed away and they have, like, a 2-year-old and you fall in love with that child. Yeah. And that's your version of life. Or you guys decide that you know, you want a baby. There are a lot of different ways out there to have one. Or
more than one way to skin a baby.
Yeah. Or, like, you use your eggs, or you meet someone in 6 months and you just know it's the person. And, like, that's kind of how it went for me. It was so fast. So, I think, like, You're in the middle. Don't decide the end of the story. You don't know it.
This idea that, like, I've lost so much time in these relationships. By the time I find my person, that's not how it works.
No.
Like, oh, you spent so much time finding yourself that now that we're going to give you the person you want, now everything's going to be awful. First of all, maybe that person helps you pay for it. Maybe that person already has a home. I think you have set in your mind exactly what you want, but you're not open to the idea that, like, there might be something else in store that's different.
Yes.
So,
yes. And by the way, there is something in store that's different. Whatever it is, like, there is something in store that's different. Like, you have to trust that what is meant for you is coming. And all you really need to do is just, like, keep moving towards what feels good in your life.
You want to buy that house? Buy that house.
Yes.
Fucking decorate it. You will figure out the way to have this baby. But this idea that you need to put everything on hold, and some women do, and that's what they do, but assess everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is the burning thing you want, then go out there. You start dating more, start sniffing around. There's guys out there that want.
Oh, for sure.
You just got to, it just takes a little bit more time because you're not 28.
Yep.
But it's out there.
It's out there.
Quality women are getting married later and later.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. We all remember that feeling where you're, like, getting older and you're like, what? You're almost angry at the universe. You're like, oh, so all these girls get married and I'm just going to rot on the shelf? No, there's no such thing.
There's no such thing.
Like, you're not going to, like, not have a home, not have a kid, not have a husband, and just be stagnant. Like, that's not happening.
No.
First time question asker, longtime fan, discovered the pod a year ago after seeing you in Sydney. Congratulations on baby boy.
Thank you.
I'm a 25-year-old female from Sydney. My boyfriend, T, and I have been together for 3 years. A few weekends ago, I went on a trip away with my boyfriend and his friends for Australia Day. My jacket was left with one of his friends who I met for the first time this trip. I live an hour and a half north from T. I moved from work 6 months ago. And his friend lives 30 minutes south of him. This is a math question.
Okay.
I asked him if he could pick it up for me. And he got all weird and said an hour-long round trip is too much. So I'm guessing you're talking about the friend.
Yeah. But also, like, I feel like if she's asking, it's about the boyfriend.
Right.
Otherwise, what are we helping? Well, I don't, what does the rest of it say?
For context, his best friend is... Oh, no. Oh, it's an hour because he's going to his friend's house to get it.
And
it's
go
the boyfriend.
Okay, okay.
All right. For context, we almost threw out the question. For context, his best friend is from Brisbane and asks him to pick up stuff from the group... from the group of friends all the time, usually within a 15 to 20 minute radius of where he lives, and he does that easily. Quit asking, am I the asshole? Reddit is dead to me, but you did say, am I the asshole for thinking he'd do this for me? I never ask him for favors, favor spelled with you, and I don't know his friend all that well. I know it's my jacket, but his response really annoyed me. I asked him the day after we left it, and then again a week later, thinking maybe he was just tired after the trip, but his response was the same. It doesn't seem like a big ask, and I do it easily. In fact, I've often gone out of my way to do things he likes. It's quite infuriating. Love, Anna. If you do it easily, Anna, go get the jacket.
Yeah. I mean, two things. One, I do think you could get the jacket because it seems like you guys are equidistant maybe from this friend. That this friend is like, or is the friend closer to the boyfriend in the other direction? I'm not sure.
Why do you need a jacket in Australia?
Presumably also you visit the boyfriend and you could just go when you're visiting the boyfriend. But regardless, like, you know, I mean, you're right. This is not a giant ask. And you think?
No, I'm trying to process all this. So basically he's like, I don't want to drive a half hour to my friends and a half hour. Could you just ask the friend the next time? Do you need this jacket right. that badly? It is.
But maybe it's the point of the boyfriend not going out of his way to do something for her. Like, listen,
yeah.
Like just without context, I don't feel like it is great. Like I would like the person I'm in a relationship with
to help me
to help me and to go out of his way to make my life easier. That is part of the reason that you are in a relationship because, I mean, right. However, I don't really know like what his work schedule is. Like, is he a person who is, right. you know, who's like really consumed on a project right now or is working crazy hours or doesn't have a ton of free time? And is he spending more of his time traveling to where you live as opposed to you going up to him? Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah. What's the value on the time? What you want is a boyfriend to love you and be like, yeah, I'll help you out.
Of course.
Can you make it like I'll buy lunch on the way? It's only a half hour. Like, it's not that much. But it is annoying. And I will tell you, because Rebecca's making it about what it should be about, which is the relationship. I'm making it about the jacket. I live in a home that for some reason is a black hole. When people come over, they leave stuff here. And then I'm fucking stuck with your water bottle, jacket, sunglasses forever.
Yeah.
I don't lose things. And for you, I'm mad at you. I left my jacket. It's such a girlfriend thing. I left my vest. My headband.
Like, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Have the friend bring it over or go get it yourself.
Yeah.
The friend should just bring it the next time he comes, but it is, that was your thing. Basically, it's your responsibility. You left it. Now you're making it his problem, which is fine if you like live together and you're like, I need you to deal with something.
Yes.
Manly. But he's probably like, this is a pain in the ass. I get nothing out of it. I'm just going. It's an hour in
right,
the car.
And maybe he's like never even seen you wear that jacket. Like, I don't know. There's a lot more data.
What's the jacket look like?
We'd actually need to be able to answer this. But like, if you're writing because this is indicative of your relationship and it's a little bit of a pattern and you're writing because like you've noticed a few of these instances and what you really want us to say is like, is this okay behavior or not? Then I would ask you to look at that.
Depends on the rest of the relationship.
Depends on the rest of the relationship.
But it's really annoying you left
depends
that
on
jacket.
The rest of the I can't say that. It depends on the rest of the... Is that not a...
It depends on the rest of the relationship.
Yes. It depends on the relationship.
You could probably type it faster.
I could type it faster.
It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly,
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. And they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute. And when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. I like investing in quality pieces and owning them forever versus buying and rebuying garbage and clothing made of plastic over and over. That's why I like Quince. They make owning luxury essentials easy because they have unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Not everyone is a millionaire, but that shouldn't stop you from owning sustainable, quality items that you wear over and over that always look great. Like a 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Pare it down. Make your life easier. And the best part is, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I went to Mexico City recently and I wore shorts the whole time. Not just any shorts. I got my shorts at Quince. I got bamboo jersey maternity bike shorts. Bamboo is sustainable. I can feel good about wearing it. And the price was pretty nice. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza. I'm writing for some big sister advice. I'm a 25-year-old single female who recently graduated from grad school.
Yes. Right.
I started my first full-time job. I have not invested too much time in looking for a relationship because of my busy schedule. For a little more context, I'm in the medical field and I was also a collegiate athlete. Therefore, going to classes, clinical rotations, and practice, my little free time went to homework, trying to catch up on sleep. In grad school, I was taking full course loads along with completing more rotations and doing per diem jobs on the side to make money. I guess you can say I put a lot of time and effort into my studies, which I'm very proud of. Now that I've gotten more comfortable at my job and getting to know the area a little better, I would like to branch out and see potential options for relationships. I am content being on my own and doing my own thing, but I have this feeling like I should experience what it's like being in a relationship. Most of my best friends are all in long-term 3+ years relationships. And whenever we hang out, there's always a comment of me still being single. I typically respond with some type of witty comeback, which shuts it down, but something will always come back up when we hang out. I haven't been in a fully committed relationship before, so I'm looking for some big sister advice on how to navigate dating in your 20s. I have tried going on some dating apps, but to be totally honest, it's kind of rough. And I have recently gone back through and rewatched Eliza's old specials to try to pick up some free advice. But I would like to hear what you guys think of the whole picture. Thank you so much for your time. One of my friends and I got to see you live a couple of years ago in Massachusetts. Loved it. Anonymous.
Love. Okay. First of all, Anonymous, I have to say that you are doing things exactly right. Like, yeah. I am so proud of you for like crushing it with your masters and working so hard. And your attention has been in exactly the right places. Yeah. So no stress. I hated when people said this to me when I was in my 20s, but you're so young. And I know that that's a very annoying thing to hear, but I don't mean it to be patronizing or to mean like none of these things are real. I mean it to just like try to take a little pressure off of you and maybe make you feel a little bit of relief in that like there's just so much time to have all of these experiences.
Oh God, yeah.
And when you say like, I feel like I should be in a relationship, like, is that coming from a place of you wanting it? Are you feeling like this is something you should have because your friends are partnered? If it's the latter, like, you're good.
Yeah.
You're so good. Like,
do they have careers like you?
Yeah.
Do they have backgrounds like
yes.
you? Did they go to graduate school? Like,
and like crushing it, picking up other work and like just making it happen. Like, you are so good. By the way, you don't need to be on dating apps. Like, you know, when you're out sometimes, if like someone's cute and you start flirting and you feel like going on a date with them or making out with them or whatever, great. But like, you don't have to do more than that.
You don't have to do anything.
You have to do anything.
Plenty of people, or do an app later, or have it never turn it on, or use it when you're only on the toilet. Like,
yeah.
At this age, you're out more. You are forming yourself.
Yes.
You are forming yourself for the self that you're going to need later, for the person that you're going to want to meet. Take a look. It's not about like shitting on your friends, but like take a look at those friends. Mm-hmm. The two don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can have a great boyfriend and go to grad school and do whatever, but are they crushing it as hard as you? And even if they are, like it's just to make you feel a little bit better. I was never in a relationship longer than a year.
Same.
Until I got married.
Yeah.
For whatever that's worth.
Yeah, same.
So who cares? And also at 25, like, oh, cool. You've been in a 3+ year relationship at 25. Like, cool.
Yeah.
What do I do with that? Like, who cares?
You just strike me as somebody who really wants to like work on themselves and their own career and like get where you're going. And that's rad because all of that is going to serve you in later down the road. If you choose, should you want it, choosing a partner who is well matched for you.
Yeah. You are going to want someone that appreciates all mm-hmm. how multifaceted you are. And you might just be too good for some people right now.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Just have fun. Enjoy your life and keep crushing it. You're doing great.
Yeah. You're it's
you're good.
You're so good. I shouldn't have even read it. That's how little we're worried about you. Okay. Moving on to weddings.
Okay.
Love the pod. You're such a great insights and always provide a good laugh. This is more of the same, but I need help nonetheless. Ha ha. A childhood. Oh, this is a good one. This is a scrumptious one.
Okay.
I feel like you're going to have so many. I feel like this is your next book. It's not your next book. A child, is that such an annoying thing to say?
No.
Yes, it is. I mean, like, you can use this in your act.
Oh, thank you so much.
Don't look me in the eye. I shouldn't have said that to you.
Okay.
A childhood friend of mine, Rachel, in quotes, is mad she wasn't in my wedding. Or maybe it's her mom who is mad.
Ooh.
I got married last year. We rented a house and had a semi-destination backyard wedding. We hosted the wedding party and their spouses in the house for a couple of days. And then all the festivities were held on property. It was perfect. Other than that, the wedding itself was pretty standard. Okay. Background. Rachel and I were adopted at the same time through the same group. So our families have known each other since we were babies. She's one of those people who's always considered a friend, even if we aren't really that close and we haven't talked in years. We're 28 now.
Got it.
Apparently, 3 months after the wedding, Rachel's mom called my mom and said it was disrespectful to not have Rachel in my wedding because Rachel and I were like sisters, that I must have only cared about the party if I wasn't willing to acknowledge lifelong friendships, that she would have been more inclined to come to the wedding had Rachel been in it. Rachel did come as a guest and that she was so nice for not making this a big deal before the wedding.
Oh, so the mom is saying like Rachel was so nice that she didn't bring this up.
I think the mom is either saying that or she's saying Rachel was so nice. I think the mom is saying that
Rachel was so nice for not bringing it up.
Sure. Either way, it's a disgusting sentence.
Yeah.
My mom was caught off guard and was trying to defend me by saying I have a lot of close girlfriends, a sister-in-law, and how maybe we're more like acquaintances, she and Rachel. So bad call on my mom's end because that's not how I would have phrased it. And also Rachel's mom said that she would tell Rachel she should consider me an acquaintance, not a friend. I'm annoyed Rachel didn't come to me directly because I'm assuming there's a lot of miscommunication going on. Also, why go to my mom? She didn't have a say in who my bridesmaids were. I understand being disappointed you aren't in someone's wedding. That's totally fine, but to blow up a friendship over it? I thought it was an acquaintanceship. I didn't mean to hurt her feelings, and so far the only hurtful things actually said have been from the moms. If we had a bigger wedding and a bigger wedding party, maybe she would have been in it. But what good is it for me to know she's upset after the wedding? Now I just feel bad. But honestly, even if I could go back in time, I would still pick the same people. We thought about who our biggest support people are and who would get along in the house, a low stress group.
Right.
People willing to help a ton, number to make the side semi-equal. But is an explanation really something I owe her? Also, if it is, how would I gently tell someone there's other friends I'm closer with? Because honestly, even if I added one more person, I don't think it would have been her. For the last month, I've been beating myself up over this. She really does mean a lot to me, but she's not someone I go to for advice, comfort, or to rant. I'm sad and want to mend this relationship, but it's awkward since everything I know is just hearsay. She hasn't once said anything to me directly about this. We now live near each other, so once I found out she was mad, I tried to hang out with her. She said she's been busy and asked if there was anything on my mind. I said, yeah, I want to catch up, and I haven't heard from her since. What should I do now? Am I in the wrong? Should brides tell all their friends they aren't in the wedding? But that feels presumptuous. How does one apologize for something they didn't say? Sorry for whatever your mom said. My mom said, I didn't even hear the conversation until a month after it happened. Is this friendship worth fighting for? Just forget it. I promise to follow up. Woo!
Woo! So much reading.
I'm so curious on your thoughts on this.
Oh, yeah, thoughts. Do you want to fire off?
First of all, I just feel like there's so much she said going on in this thing. Like you're assuming that she's upset. First of all, you don't even know if she's upset, like you said. These are just the moms talking. She's upset.
Rachel's a dud and the mom is a yenta.
Right. Okay.
That's what happened. Rachel's lame.
Yes.
And this girl is only in your life because of the circumstances you had no control over, which is that you were both adopted at the same time.
Yeah.
We all have friends like this. And where it's like, they're just kind of there, but you've grown apart. You said that.
Yes.
It's so immature.
Yeah.
Let's say Rachel was upset about it. That's not what real friends do. They don't get upset about the wedding. There's also a misunderstanding here. Like, she's thinking you're really close, which also makes me think she's a dud. Because that's kind of like a weirdo loser thing. Like, I thought we weren't close. You're like, why did you think that?
Right.
Can you point to evidence? Like, when's the last time you hung out? Did you take this girl for granted? And she kind of always has been there. Mm-hmm. And it would have cost you nothing to have her there.
Right.
But it is your wedding. This clearly, I think this upset the girl and she said something to her mom. I think first of all, the fact that she doesn't want to address it is weird, but face-to-face talking about it, I can't tell if you were close.
Right.
Because you could also be close and then like the last 3 years you didn't talk and then you invite them. So it does seem like, and I don't think you're wrong for this, you're like, look, we had everyone staying in our house. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everyone's coupled up and Rachel is single, but you were thinking of that dynamic. It could have been, we have 3 beds, we had 6 people, and they're all together. I don't know where to put you, you know? What's missing is your response.
In other words, what's missing is her response to Rachel.
What's missing is you and Rachel talking and your response.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The mom is going to be, I mean, you can't really control that. And
no, that just is what it is. That just is what it is. And listen, like, people lose their minds about weddings. I mean, I just got married. I chose to get married with just our parents because like I just couldn't deal. I mean, honestly, like I just could not deal with the dynamics of wedding.
Right.
I just could not deal with it. However, when you choose to have a wedding party, you know, you're naturally including some people and not including some people. And like, you know, people have a right to be upset about that if they want to. And also you have a right to do things the way you want to do them because it's your wedding. And like, it's okay for those two things to be true. But I think you guys just need to speak.
You need to speak. And also what would have been nice, and maybe you could admit this, is like, I should have come to you before to explain the dynamics of the wedding we chose.
Why I chose to do it this way.
Yeah.
The house and the whatever.
Come with your hat in your hand and be like, I didn't mean to leave you out. I feel really bad that I did that. And I feel really bad that we haven't been able to talk about it. Because clearly this girl was feeling like you were closer. She could be a loser. She could be a total dud and her mom's annoying. It hurt her feelings and that's not what you wanted. So you need to tell her that.
Yeah.
She may not want to hang out with you because she's like, I don't know, this girl, like after all these years, like her, you know.
It's not appropriate for you guys to have as close of a friendship. Like maybe that was just naturally happening. And
or maybe you don't. And you're like, what the fuck, dude? Like, why is this dud like getting upset? And so then you just write her an email. If she really won't see you, you could just write her a nice email.
Yes.
And you could also, the mom is kind of,
can I say, the older that I get, the more I realize that like, it is very rarely the wrong answer to like, to very humbly come to somebody and apologize for hurting them in some way.
I do it all the time.
It really, like it is very rarely the wrong answer. And it doesn't really actually matter who's right. It's a kind and good thing for just like your own life and your relationships to have that be a little bit of a practice.
But also it releases you from the tsuris that you're feeling.
Yes.
Like you're like, look, even if you were wrong, like, look, I extended an olive branch and I tried. And now it's the ball's in their court and you will feel better because you did hurt her feelings.
Yeah.
It was a little selfish, I'm assuming. But again, I can't really tell if you were close or you think you drifted apart. And she's like, really? I see you every Friday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't mean to hurt you. And that Rebecca's absolutely right. But what's missing is that connectivity. The mom, I don't know how close you are to the mom. You hurt her baby. So she's going to hate you forever. And I get that. But what you want is her to take it back to the mom and be like, mom, we solved it. Leave me alone.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you should forget the mom. You can't, like, you're not going to talk to the mom.
Yeah.
Just try to have, like, try to go to lunch with her or something. And if you can't, write her a very nice email.
Like, I felt real bad. I felt, or maybe you're saying you don't really feel bad. Just be like, here are the dynamics. The intention was never to deliberately leave you out. I want to apologize if I hurt you.
Yes.
Don't say weird things like, I'm sorry you feel that way.
No.
Although that's not an apology. Okay.
This is really fun.
I
honestly, like, I could do this all day. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, there is, it's not that you take pleasure in people's pain, but it is very satisfying and it is a nice vacation to dab. These are issues. These are serious things bothering people. And sometimes the questions are very serious, but there is something to, like, get into the nitty gritty of, yeah, like, who wore what dress. It's just, there's something specifically female and delicious, yes, about some of this drama,
yes,
right?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Hello. Probably not the first time you've been asked this question and definitely not the last. In summary, it's about bridesmaids' wedding gift etiquette. For context, I'm a 31 female who's a bridesmaid in my wonderful friend's wedding. We met in residency and many of the bridal party, I already know this is me about money. You said residency, someone's, yeah, going to have no money. We met in residency and many of the bridal party are similarly still in medical training and therefore on a limited budget. I have not done the total math for this bachelorette party yet, but conservatively, the expenses are around $1,500 to $2,000 a head for a long weekend, not including the fact that this is a non-holiday weekend, which would require at least 1 or 2 days off work. On top of that, the wedding is a destination wedding. Not a super duper expensive destination, but a destination nonetheless. When considering all these expenses the bridesmaids have incurred, what is the correct thing to do when it comes to a wedding gift? It's never my intention to shortchange a friend who I adore. I'm so happy to be your bridesmaid for her wedding. I understand that many of the expenses from the bachelorette may not even be dictated by her, but rather her maid of honor. I also totally understand that there is some level of expense that comes with agreeing to be a bridesmaid that is on top of another wedding guest. But at what point do you draw the line and say, hey, I've spent so much money on you already? It somehow feels tackier to just give a nice card without any cash or gift associated with it. And it would just be easy to say, hey, my presence is enough. But at the same time, again, I'm not at all wanting to shortchange my friend, just needing to understand what's actually expected from me at this point. Oof. A lot of money.
I mean, weddings have just become, like, the cost associated with weddings is obscene, especially for people getting married, like, you know, earlier in their lives or in, like, I mean, the fact that we are supposed to do showers and bachelorette parties and weddings. And I mean, it's like all of your discretionary income, basically. It's a lot. It's just a lot. I think that, so I don't, like, you should not be required to go broke for somebody. You just shouldn't.
Yeah. Unless you're a boy taking a girl out on a date.
Yeah. And
she put on lip gloss.
And it sounds like you've committed to doing this. You know, I think she said the bachelorette was going to be like $1,000 to $2,000.
She's estimating.
Yeah. But so I also, by the way, like, I think it is totally fair to say that the wedding is a destination. Like, I want to be there for you. I love you. I like, you can also not make that bachelorette. Like, if that bachelorette is going to be $2,000 and you don't have that $2,000, you are not required to attend that. Like, you can have, I think it's all in the communication. And I think, like, I think friends actually are very understanding when you come to them in, like, reasonable and kind and open-hearted ways.
That's, if this is a friend you're willing to bleed this much for, then she's a friend who would be like, you don't have to get me.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really have to get me there.
Yes.
You know, you could be like, would you rather I just give you $1,000?
Yeah. You can make a joke about it. You could say, like, I really want to get you a gift, but this is all, like, she's not, she knows how much all of this is costing, whether she wants to look at it or not.
That's right.
She knows how much all of this is costing. And it is totally appropriate to just have, like, a kind and sweet conversation with her and just say, like, you know, I want to give you the world. I love you so much.
Yes.
I would do anything for you. You know, here, like, money's a little bit tight here. You know, the situation, here's what's going on. I want to be able to be there for all these events. I'm just not going to be able to get you a gift. Like, is that okay? I feel terrible. She's going to be like, oh my God, don't even worry about it.
She would be a monster if she's like, I need that gift. I guess the other question is, like, a gift doesn't, it could be a $75 gift.
Yes.
Like a gift doesn't have to be Waterford Crystal. The gift could be a Target gift card, you know?
Yes. You could get her some like little monogram tea towels off Etsy. Like yes. Sometimes like the sweetest, smallest things are the things that I end up like loving the most.
Monogrammed tissues for the day of.
Yeah.
Just so you could-
Like a little handkerchief or something.
That's right.
For when that's you, you sweet. Know,
something small, something meaningful, but no friend, would, unless she's a bitch, will have a problem with you being like, I just can't no. do both. Or could I come for half of it? Like how long is this bachelorette
yeah,
party?
Yeah.
Could I just come for the dinner? You don't want to make it difficult. Like, what if I just come and I only have an appetizer?
No,
or like, what
no.
if I don't pay for the bed? But you could say like, hey, I'm going to skip the brunch, but I'm going to join you guys at the dinner. Like,
yes.
think about that.
Yes.
But again, this comes back to like women being afraid of your friends. And it's not like she's planning a coronation. Of course, you don't want to bog the bride down with stuff. But if this is someone you're willing to spend this much money on, you have an open line of communication.
Yes. And honestly, like you seem like an incredibly thoughtful and really kind yeah. and loving friend. And I don't think this is an issue here. Yeah. I think figure out what you can financially and realistically do and communicate that to her. And I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah. It's time for Top of the Cup.
It's the top of the cup. You're doing it right every day. You just take a bite. Top of the cup.
My top of the cup is a shitty one. And I feel bad that I just thought of this, but my top of the, well, I guess you should go first. You're the guest.
Whatever. It's yours is happening in real time. So why don't you?
In real time, I got an email from my daughter's school saying that someone at the in her class had RSV and my daughter's not been feeling well. So we take her to the doctor who, don't know why when we took her yesterday, they didn't test her for this, given that she looks like she has RSV, did a whole panel on her. And I'm like, make sure they don't charge you twice. Like that's bullshit. That's negligent to like not test a kid for the thing that all kids get. Doesn't have RSV, which means we can have the nanny. She has like a little eye infection, whatever. I can hear them. He just took her home from the doctor and he's in there with the nanny in the kitchen. I can hear them in the other room. And he's like, stop touching your eye. Please get this orange. You asked for it. Like he's being a parent. And I am kind of reveling in being a piece of shit. That's like, oh, sorry, I can't help. I'm recording my podcast. And I just told Rebecca, I was like, I think I'm going to stay in here a little bit longer. They don't need me. There's two adults in
there.
They're
fine.
I can't help her not touch her eye.
They're good.
And that's fine. Whatever the excuse. I've got a friend over. I'm doing a podcast is the shittiest excuse. Like it's such a loser. Like I've got my podcast.
But it's true.
But I do.
It happens to be true
People
right
need
now.
These promo codes. So my top of the cob is like, I guess the fact that I've created a life where I can like take an extra 10 minutes to just like be in the office or on the toilet.
Yeah. Okay. My top is going to sound so self-congratulatory, but it's just like doing things that you were uncomfortable with. Like I really feel like Michael Scott in The Office, but I just ran my first 5K last weekend.
You did?
Yeah. And I just want to say, like, I was never able to run. Like, I work out a lot. We work out together
sometimes.
We have
the same trainer.
Yeah, like,
We were supposed to do it before this podcast.
Yeah, I work out a lot, whatever. But running is a whole different thing. And I've always just been really envious of people who could just, like, go out and, like, run 2 miles. I was like, man, like, that'd be a cool skill, especially when you're on, like, book tour or whatever.
Like you said 2 miles. Like, not even a whole marathon. Just 2 miles.
Just 2 miles. Just
it's
to, like,
hard.
Just to, like, be able to do it. So anyway, I started off, like, in September. And I was running, like, 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off.
Oof.
And, like, this weekend, I did a 5K, which is 3.1 miles. And, like, whatever. It's nothing. Like,
no, it's something.
People are out here running marathons. But I just, like, want to say that it feels really good to set, like, small, manageable goals and achieve them.
Yeah.
And actually, to be honest, like, this actually felt like a pretty hard one because I had really never run before. But, like, I don't know. Just, like, don't stop. Like, congratulate yourself on the small wins. Like, it was a 5K, but you know what? I feel proud of that. And so
I'm proud of you.
That's my top of the cob. I it just feels good to be like, I want to do that thing and then do it, even if that thing is small. And even if it's dumb and even if it's like not that productive, like whatever. I have so many more important things going on in my life right now than like learning how to like run 2 miles.
And knowing how to run, period.
But like just doing something because you want to do it, because like it's a thing you want to do is enough sometimes.
I love that.
So.
And that's a great overall note for a lot of the questions written in. Like it's the thing you want to do. You want
the
house.
Do.
Which is a huge goal. Like do the thing you want
to
do.
Yeah. It like doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't have to make a lot of sense. It doesn't have to be like the most productive. It doesn't have to be like a part of a plan. Like
this is a part of a plan.
Like
true.
Just like if you want to do it, just like take steps to do it. And then like
I feel like girls feel that way about their nails. Like, it doesn't matter. It's probably bad for you, but I just really wanted to get these like koi pond themed nails.
It's nice.
Sometimes it's nice, whether it's like buying yourself something or working out. I hate running, but I have definitely gone through phases in my life, primarily during COVID, where I'm like, I think I'm going to get into running.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, maybe I'll do a 5K one day, because it's nice to tangibly accomplish something.
It is.
Good for you.
It is nice to tangibly.
Although I will say, when Alicia told me you were training for that, I made a vomit sound.
Of course. But I mean, everyone's like been giving me so much shit, but I enjoyed it. So
where'd you run?
It was a Venice 5K.
So that's, I love it.
Yeah, it was nice.
Was Jared like at the end with like...
He was like, should I come and bring a sign? But like earnestly, because my husband is just like...
That's so sweet. Did you go to eat after?
Yeah.
The best.
It was nice.
The best.
It was just nice.
All right.
All right, bottom?
Juicy bottom.
Should I go? You want to go?
It doesn't matter.
My bottom is like... I'm trying to get specific on this, but honestly, it's like communication on the phone. And it's like... It's text message, it's DMs. Like, we've gotten to this point where everything that occurs needs to be acknowledged. And I resent that. And there's just too much communication going on. Not every email needs like a like response. Like, not every DM needs to be like double clicked, hearted.
Yes.
Like, if we're texting, we don't need to say like goodbye or whatever. Like, sometimes you just need to like drop some information and get out and like trust the other person like knows how to fucking read. I think we've gone too far. We are communicating too much, and it is unproductive, and and it's ridiculous.
It's always about, because there's no, it's really hard to infer intention. Even if it's something is punctuated well, most people are too dumb. And so you're always like, if I don't send a heart emoji, are they going to know I'm not mad?
Yes.
I texted you the other day with a question, and you were like, I'm at dinner, like we were like with Jared and his parents.
Yeah.
And you were like, can it wait till tomorrow? And I was like, no, it's okay. And I was like, kind of not mad at you, but I was like, I could text it to her. It's too long. But you were saying like, hey, I'm doing something. I can't answer this now. And I wrote, no, it's okay. And you didn't write back. And I was like, I actually, while I do feel like maybe she hates me now, I do respect that.
Yeah.
It's
no, but I'm saying like,
right.
I think we all just need to get more.
You're right.
It has nothing to do with the relationship. It has nothing to do with everything. And we have to get more comfortable with communicating in a way that is like, that is not like diminishing our resources over like.
You are yelling.
Am I yelling? I feel really strongly about this.
I love it.
It's gotten out of control.
I completely agree. And I also think having these conversations with your friends where you're like, no, like they're not being passive aggressive. Like, they just don't want to write back an emoticon, an emoji, an extra thing. Because I've talked about this where it's endlessly like, thanks,
endless.
LOL. Okay, great. Yeah. That was actually going to be my bottom of the cob, but I was like, stop talking about pregnancy things. But I'll change mine to match yours.
Yeah.
It is the constant, people are doing it from a good place, keeping up. Like, I have fielded texts in the last week that are like, hey, any day now.
Right, right.
How are you feeling? I'm like, I'm fine. Like, I don't want to answer this.
Yeah.
I don't want to answer, how's New York?
Right.
How's the trip?
Yeah.
When you ask me a question that is huge, like, hey, how was Europe?
Yes.
It's lazy. It's lazy. It's up there with congrats.
Yes.
Let's be specific in our interactions and intentions.
I 100% agree.
Oh, I love you for it. This is why we get along.
Mm-hmm. This is fun.
It's so, because it's, women aren't allowed to express this. It was like, wow, because why didn't you give a smile? It's like, cause I'm fucking busy.
Yeah.
I don't want to write back. It hurts.
Yeah. My husband's not having this issue in his friendships and his relationships and his work. Like, this is not happening.
No. Nobody expects this from men.
No.
Men will go days without writing you back.
Yeah.
I've started doing that. And I think part of it is becoming a mom, but just not deliberately, but like, oh, I forgot to write this back. Because you're constantly like catching up on these things.
Yes.
If it matters, they'll get back to you enough. But like, hopefully you know me well enough to know that like, I'm not mad at you. I don't want to.
Yes, totally. And if like, if somebody really needs something, they can follow up again, you know, like it's okay.
Especially work stuff.
Like, we can let a few things slide. It's okay.
It's okay. And I love that our bottoms matched.
Yeah.
I love that you brought me flowers. And I love that expiration dates is out March 19th. And I wanted to do this podcast now so that we didn't have to do it while I was like postpartum. The book's going to be great. Wait, I read the book. The book is great. Sorry, I really did. And you're also the friend that reads books. Like, you read my book.
I loved your book. I love it. I loved.
You have too many books for me to read, but I have read some of them.
Yeah.
And
you have.
I have.
Yeah.
I have. It's beautiful.
I think
you've
read all the recent ones.
Yeah. And so we're going to link the book and the buy and everything, all that mm-hmm. in the podcast. But you guys aren't stupid. Like, you can get it where you get books.
Yeah. Anywhere you get books.
You would prefer they get it from an independent bookstore.
Yes. I'd prefer you get it from an independent bookstore. Also, Diesel Books in Los Angeles is my signed book home. So if you want a signed copy of a book or you want me to personalize a book for somebody in your life, you can do that, but only at Diesel Books.
Where's Diesel Books?
It's in Brentwood in Los Angeles. And you can go, I think it's Diesel Books is their Instagram handle.
Yeah.
Look up Diesel Books LA online. And
you're going on a book tour.
I'm going on a book tour. Yes. I'm doing a big East Coast. I'm going to be in Nashville. I'm going to be in St. Louis, and all of that's on my Instagram too. So please, I mean, if you like my books and you want to talk about books, and come out.
Her Instagram is @RebeccaSerle, @Rebecca Serle, and all the info's there. But you guys are already fans, and this was nice to do. This Emily, you're fired.
I love you. I love you. Thank you.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.